and pressing on the upward way, new heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound, Lord, let my feet on higher ground. Lord, lift me up and let me stand.
It's time once again for It's a Good Life. Please join us as Dr. Lewis Woodard teaches and preaches from the King James Bible. Our prayer for you is that this program will help lift you to higher ground with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, Dr. Woodard.
We've been looking at the book of Ephesians chapter 5, and in verse 21, as I've said before, Paul starts talking about how the Ephesian church, the church at Ephesus, the people there, how they were to live with and how to treat each other as husbands and wives, parents and children, masters and servants. And as we think of this, we see that God has an order of things. He places things in proper perspective in each place that it should be for each thing that is in this world. And, of course, out of this world, I mentioned the sun, the moon, the stars, planets, everything has an order, and God has placed certain things within the confines of our lives as human beings as being in order. And those things that we looked at so far is about husbands and wives in this section of Scripture in chapter 5. And especially in verse 25, where we left off, it says, "Husbands, love your wives." Now, I spent some time speaking about the wives, how they are to be in subjection to the husband. But now we see that husbands are to love their wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Husbands, love your wives, the Bible says there. The duty of the wife is to follow the leadership and direction of the husband, according to Ephesians 5:24. And then the husband is to exhibit the same spirit towards his wife as Christ did and does for the church. And Paul points to the conduct of the Savior towards the church as the model for the husband to follow. Christ laid down his life for the church. He gave his life that you and I could go to heaven. Well, the husband is to be ready to, I believe, lay down his life for his wife. The husband is to be the one who is the breadwinner. He's the one who is to imitate the Redeemer. Well, notice this. It says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it." God gave himself, and this is Jesus Christ, gave himself to die to redeem it. And by the way, Jesus is God. He was as much God had he never been man, and he was as much man had he never been God. Now, don't ask me to explain that further, because I'm a simple human being. I can't explain everything. I take by faith what God has said in his word, and he never lies. He always tells the truth. So Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was as much man had he never been God, and as much God had he never been man. And I'm so grateful that he came into this world to seek and to save those who were lost. I was lost, and he looked for me, and he spoke to my heart, and I received him as Lord and Savior, and I pray that you've done the same thing. And husband, you need to get saved if you've never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You cannot do the proper job that God has placed you here for if you have never trusted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And wife, if you've never trusted Jesus as your Savior, you can't fulfill what you are supposed to be doing in this life. The only way that any of us can do what we're supposed to do is to trust Jesus Christ, first of all, as Savior, and then listen to him and let him guide us through this life to do what he wants us to do. Well, Christ gave himself for the church, and husband, the husband is to imitate the Redeemer in being willing to give himself for his wife. As Christ gave himself to suffer on the cross to save the church, I believe that husbands are to be willing to suffer themselves and to bear up under the work and trial of affliction. Why? That they may promote the happiness of the wife. It's the duty, I believe, of the husband, according to the Word of God, to work for her support, and that's the wife's support, to provide for her wants, to deny himself of rest and ease if necessary, and this is in order to take care of her, his wife, in sickness. And it's to go before her in danger, to defend her if she's in danger, and to be ready to die to save her. Why shouldn't the husband be willing to sacrifice himself for his wife? Shouldn't a husband be willing to see his wife's safety at all costs, even if it means placing himself in danger? Well, God has placed certain things in order here, and the order is, husbands, love your wives, and wives, be in subjection to your own husbands. You see, there may be more implied in Ephesians 5:25 than a man is to work hard and even to lay down his life for the welfare of his wife. Christ laid down his life to save the church, and a husband should have one great objective in his life, and that is to lead his wife to the Savior for salvation before this life is over. The husband is compelled not to interfere with her salvation. In other words, he's to encourage her and in every way possible. He is to furnish her with all things necessary to make it possible for her to focus on the worship of God. And he is not to place any obstacles in her way. He's to be an example to her. He is to counsel her from the Word of God when she needs counsel. And he also needs to make the path of salvation as easy for her as possible. You see, if a husband is saved and is allowing the Spirit of God to work through him, he's going to deem no sacrifice too great if he can promote the salvation of his family, not only for his wife, but for his children, for his grandchildren, for his great-grandchildren, for those people around him. He should be ready and willing to do what he can to lead others to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's not only for his family, but that also is for those people he comes into contact with. Each of us need to be witnesses for the Lord. In verse 26, Ephesians 5 says, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now he's talking about the church here, Paul is, and that he might sanctify and cleanse what? The church. Notice that the great object of the Redeemer was to purify and save people who would become his wife. You see, that's what the church is going to be one day, going to be the bride, the wife of Christ. The meaning in this verse, that he might sanctify, is the meaning here is that a husband is to show similar love towards his wife. We're still talking about a husband as well here. He's to show similar love towards his wife and a similar desire that she should be prepared to walk before him in pureness. Now, the church is to walk in pureness. And of course, no one goes to heaven without being pure. That doesn't mean that we're perfect yet. We won't be perfect until this body is changed, until we have a body fashioned like our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Notice this. The verse goes on to say that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water. Now, cleanse the church with washing of water. Well, Paul would possibly be using as an illustration to the church of the purifying that took place in the Bible concerning the purification of a virgin preparing for marriage. Remember, the Jewish people and those people that the apostles ministered to, they had the Old Testament. So in Esther chapter 2 and verse 12, it says, "Now when every maid's turn was come to go in to King Ahasuerus, after that she had been 12 months according to the manner of the women, for so were the days of their purifications accomplished, to wit, 6 months with oil of myrrh, and 6 months with sweet odors, and with other things for the purifying of the women." Well, the purification of virgins made it possible for them to be presented to the king, according to that verse, Esther chapter 2 and verse 12. Psalm chapter 45, verses 13 and 14 says, "The king's daughter is all glorious within. Her clothing is of wrought gold. she shall be brought unto the king in raiment of needlework. The virgins, her companions, that follow her shall be brought unto thee. Well, people, in order to be presented to the king, that's God the Father. Let's stop and think about this. Now we're speaking of the church here. People, to be presented to the king, that's God the Father, and to the bridegroom, that's God the Son, to be presented to Jesus for marriage, must be purified, cleansed, in order to be presented to the Father and Christ as a chaste, and that means innocent virgin, without spot or blemish. And we read about the church being presented to Christ in our next verse of Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 27, that it says that he might present it, and that's the church, to himself, that's Christ, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, that it should be holy and without blemish. Well, how does the cleansing of the church take place? How does the cleansing of the people take place? 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." You see, outward cleansing by water only cleanses the outward. And therefore, there needs to be something stronger to cleanse the inner. Outwardly, there is to be the application of water, the symbol of purity, and inwardly, there is to be holiness of heart. In 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 2, where Paul says of the Corinthians, "For I am jealous over you with godly jealousy, for I have espoused to you one husband, that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Christ." Well, how does this inward washing for purity take place? It's by the Word. Some have caused a lot of commotion by saying a person has to be baptized with water to be cleansed, in other words, saved. Well, the water of baptism is certainly to be clean when a person is baptized, but no matter how clean the water is, the person getting baptized in it will still be dirty, unsaved, unless they have trusted Christ as Savior. John chapter 3 and verse 17 says, "For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." Acts chapter 2 and verse 21, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And the Bible doesn't stop there. There's so many verses. Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, "Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved." Well, of a truth, there is no other name or substance such as water under heaven that can save. The Word of God, when gotten into, read, is like a cleansing bath that not only leads us to the cleaner, Jesus Christ, it also, by its truth, sanctifies the believer. John 17, 17, it says, "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." You see, the believer is sanctified. That means purified by the word of God. And God's word is like a scrubbing cleanser that goes to work when the believer reads and studies it. And just as we needed a soul cleansing by Jesus Christ when he saved us, we need a daily cleansing from the word of God. Not to be saved again or to stay saved, but because we are saved. The world is a dirty place, and sometimes we get dirty. When we get dirty, we need to confess our dirtiness to our Heavenly Father, because if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. Do you know Him today as your Savior? Ask Him to come into your heart. Trust Him right now to save you, to take you to heaven, because He will if you trust Him.
You have been listening to It's a Good Life with Dr. Lewis Woodard. We trust you have been blessed. More biblical teaching about the Christian life can be found by visiting our websites, lrwm.org or itsagoodliferadio.com. We would love to hear from you today. Our email address is life@lrwm.org. This is Doug Anderson reminding you that it's a good life serving the Lord. May the Lord bless you richly is our prayer.